But you're raiding the goal.
How do goals happen?
Flirt.
And then you score.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the ball, breakfast.
Ireland's Sports Breakfast Show.
You are welcome back. Just a reminder that Stay City Apart Hotels are supporting Dublin GAA in all four codes of the game for the upcoming All-Ireland Championships. And as part of this, I'm delighted to welcome Dublin's Orla Nolan to the show. Orla, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Very well. This time of the season, as a footballer, we talk a lot to the men about how they've got to weirdly taper their season because they've got to come off the league campaign and then get themselves back up later after the provincials are over. It kind of feels in the women's game, it's a little bit more straightforward in that regard, that there's a shorter provincial championship straight into round robin, and all those teams in the provincial championships are generally of a very high standard. Is that how it feels in the camp?
Yeah, probably now coming into, we've Kildare up this weekend, and then we hopefully if we get to the Leinster final, we'll have 4 weeks in a row. So it is very thick and fast. And then obviously we have that rivalry with Meath. So I'm sure we'll have a competitive game there. Kildare are on the high. They've come through Division 2 final, and we've seen with like Meath and Kerry that just because you come up from Division 2 doesn't mean you can't be in the mix when it comes to the end of the summer. And then we'll see how we go at Leash too. So yeah, it's nice to have the matches. It is definitely straight into it. You know, there's no hanging around.
It's just so jarring to be talking about Gaelic football and the competition structure is actually kind of working.
Yeah, we'll take it. It's probably a bit weird to be playing, you know, there's four teams and we'll get a chance to go out against every single team, the three other teams in it, and then see where we are to obviously play one of them again if we get to the final, or whoever gets to the final is going to be meeting somebody that they've played recently. But yeah, I back the way that it's structured now at the minute. Hopefully the four teams will stay up and it'll be similar enough for the next couple of years.
What about the windows in which you play? Are you happy enough with a July, early August All-Ireland final, or like the talk in the men's game is a lot of pushing it back potentially all the way to September? I know Jarlett Burns has been mentioning that this week that they might potentially push it back there. How do you feel about the window in which the games are played?
I suppose for us, we don't have, you know, I think the people have come out with obviously with the skills going back in September, it kind of, it's a better atmosphere for the men's game. Definitely. I suppose with the women's, we're not as lucky to have the crowds. So it probably, you know, we kind of got out and playing our matches. We know what we're going to be coming up against. We know what we're, you know, we probably won't be expecting the crowds as big as the men. So we probably don't have that element of it. But yeah, I suppose we just want to go out and play as much like good quality football. And if we can attract the bigger crowds, then that'd be great. And I suppose that question probably doesn't really apply to us as much as the men's, I suppose.
When you win an All-Ireland last year and you have a bit of downtime with the inter-county scene anyway, you're not playing with Dublin for a few months, how soon does it take for the phone to ring and Piemont United are onto you, or a soccer team of another name is onto you to try and get you back in the lineup straight away?
It was probably a bit before that, but no, I had to say I did push it to the side and wait until the end of it. I would have played with Karen Duggan there when I was probably 6 or 7 years ago at UCD Waves. And Karen's somebody that, you know, if she picks up the phone and asks for your services, she's somebody that you'd jump at. And, you know, you want to be involved in a team that she's the leader of. And, you know, the girls speak really highly of her still. So, yeah, I was happy to get involved. Unfortunately, my signing didn't really go through with the FAI, so I was just training with them for the end of the season. But no, I was happy to be involved. It's a great group. Management, we're top class. The girls are top class, and yeah, great to see them go on and win it.
Can you balance both? Can you do any training at all with Piemont on the side, or would Mick Bowen and the team just not have that whatsoever, especially when you ramp up the championship?
No, there's no balance really. It's not even whether Mick would allow it or not, or the girls. You know, I'm with Dublin at the minute, and I want to give 100% everything I can to Dublin. And then once I finish up with that, it'd be the same with Piemont. They'll get 100% of me too. So it's, yeah, I'm sure it probably wouldn't be possible. But no, my decision is to play with Dublin and be happy with being with them now.
That makes perfect sense. So just to go back on your soccer career, for people who aren't overly familiar with it, you used to play with UCD Waves, as you mentioned there, started off with Shamrock Rovers before that. You lost an FAI Cup final in 2017. And then from that UCD Waves, I understand a lot of players and coaches went their separate ways, but it was the birth of your intercounty football career, Orla.
Yeah, probably sounds about right. I think I lost 2 FAI Cup finals there, with one with UC Waves, 2 at UC Waves. But no, I think I probably just, I wasn't really stepped away to get involved with Gaelic Rent, and I just felt like my soccer was, it probably wasn't as good as, I probably had a bad year, wasn't enjoying it as much as I was. Went back and played a year with club, got involved with a college team then, and had Niamh McAvoy was involved with them, and asked, you know, maybe you should come up and see what you're like with Dublin, and probably didn't, can't say I seamlessly went into it. Probably took me 2 years to kind of get my feet on the ground, break into the team, COVID break in there too, so I was lucky enough that they were patient enough with me to hang around, and then at the same time the management team, coaches, the girls were brilliant at, you know, like just working on the basics, proving year on year, training session on training session. So yeah, I'm happy where I'm at the minute.
Why weren't you enjoying your soccer in 2017?
I was probably coming to that age where, you know, it was probably like, are you going to make like the international team or not? And I probably just, I felt like I wasn't. Just kind of felt like I was getting out of my grip, getting out of grips. So yeah, I was happy enough to know. I didn't really have any regrets when I was stepping away. Just, I wasn't enjoying it. And then went back and played Gaelic, played at the club, and was having fun again. So that's what I was after.
What position do you play in soccer?
I'd be attacking mid, forward.
Right. So I was looking at the lineup from your under-19 team with the Republic of Ireland a few years ago, and it did look like that you were the centre forward in a team that had Denise O'Sullivan as captain, Katie McCabe on that team. You obviously had Chloe Mustaki, Rihanna Jarrett and Courtney Brosnan also in that squad. I presume playing up front in a team with Denise O'Sullivan and Katie McCabe is a pretty enjoyable experience.
It was, yeah, yeah. You know, the standard of them, it obviously, when you're playing with great players, you're enjoying it a bit more. And then, yeah, it was fun. probably I didn't have the talent that they had to make the next step up. But no, it's brilliant to see those guys, like them, all the girls going on and, you know, getting moves over to England with good clubs, being able to play, like make a living out of playing professionally, playing full time. So hopefully, like, that's the step that it's gone now since I've stopped playing, and hopefully that direction, the trajectory will keep going and the girls will qualify for Euros, and yeah, we'll see, have a really good national team going forward.
Did you recognise at that time the level of talent that Denise and Katie both had, that they would go on to be really top class, being one of them obviously nominated for a Ballon d'Or level? Is that the level that you realised they were at even at under-19s?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it wasn't like they were probably better than any male player that I come across, skill wise, but also the two of them, you know, they're so determined. They were going to make it happen for themselves. And even at that stage, like, there was no professional. I think Katie went over to Arsenal maybe a year or two later, and it was, you know, it was part time still, or else like it wasn't the best standards to be playing if you were making full time of that. But you know, they had the determination to go and to make themselves as good as they are now. And you know, they're not, I'd like to think I'm young enough and they're young enough still to keep getting better. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how they get on in the next few years, I'm sure.
Absolutely. The story is very much in the early stages of being written.
Yeah. It's
an interesting contrast, because it definitely seems that your team have brought women's football to new heights in this country, and yet there was obviously the professional opportunities that would have been there in soccer. So how do those two experiences differ, where you drop out of soccer after, as you described, your 2017 there? It seemed like you were maybe looking for something enjoyable at the start when it came to your Gaelic football. And I presume there was then a transition where the competitive person in you started to get attracted to that once again, and the high performance element of being involved with Dublin. So how did those two high performance setups differ, the Republic of Ireland under 19s and Mick Bowen's Dublin setup?
It's probably hard to describe them as against each other. I think they're both environments where, you know, I probably came through the under 19s and, you know, there was a level of standards that you have to live up to. You have to have like a routine of training, eating right and all that sort of stuff. And then stepping away again, when you step away, you're like, okay, it's kind of hard to know what you're doing your day in, day out. So once that opportunity for Dublin came along, I think it was, okay, I've been through the standard, like been through a kind of that similar enough setup. So just this time around, going to grab it with two hands. The management team players are brilliant at helping you know how you need to improve as a player. So I just, when I went into the Dublin panel, then it was definitely about, okay, well, this is an opportunity again. I'm going to give everything I can for myself to make use of everything that's on offer here. So I'd say both similar enough, you know, tried to get good standards, people up to good standards, and, you know, yeah.
Very interesting. It's also been a really cool story seeing your development as a Gaelic footballer over the past couple of seasons, or the changes. Like, I mean, you've won two All-Stars in two different positions. You've won one as a wing-back and you won one last year in the centre-forward position on the All-Star Team of the Year. When did that positional change happen for you?
It's probably been happening since I went in, and probably still a little bit. Nice. I went in as a wing-forward. And I suppose just the standard of players that were in that position when I went in 2019, it was tough to break into it. So I think probably had a league campaign and maybe a bit of a championship to like see how you get on. What didn't work out for me, so I was lucky enough, instead of, you know, saying okay, that's the end of it, they tried me out in the backs, and probably found a little bit less pressure. You know, you have, like, if you're in a position you need to score, you probably just go up, do a simple thing, hand pass it off to the person that's going to score for you. So that worked out really well, just simplified the game. And then I think as you get your feet on the ground, you know, you get the simple things right, and then eventually, like, you want to try stuff, or, you know, be in a position that's a bit more, can you create something? So I'd say, you know, if I was still asked to go back to play wing back, I'd like it too, but being involved in the game, that's what you want to be.
Right.
Don't really mind what position you're in.
So you're back at home in the forwards. You said it, the development in the position is still happening. Where do you think?
I'm really enjoying 11. Right. But if something came up where they like, we want you to play here, you know, this is where you'll be better for the team to play, then I'll be open to that.
I'm sure taking penalties and scoring goals is a better better outcome than passing the ball off from being a wing back.
Well, you can still score a penalty as a wing back.
It's true. One last thing I did want to ask you about, Orla, just before we wrap, is I saw in an interview a couple of years ago, you mentioned Angie McNally as your hero. And it's probably a sports person we don't know enough about or hear enough about in this country, to be fair. Like, she also was a hero in a couple of sports, from soccer to Gaelic football, but she also played basketball for Ireland, even played tennis at Flushing Meadows, from what I read this afternoon. You might just tell us a little bit about Angie before we wrap, Orla, because she's obviously someone from your locality. She was your hero, and the person that I guess maybe subconsciously you tried to emulate.
Yeah, Angie B from my club, and I think my first memory of her is probably a woman down the road. She used to mind me as a kid, and she brought me down to get my birthday card off Angie McNally, and her brother John would have been a big Dublin, played for Dublin too. So I think just straight away, when you see somebody that's, you know, like I'd be multi-sports too, I'd like to say. When you see somebody that's, you know, a woman going out and being able to, you know, like, this is something that's possible, that I... Yeah, somebody that you just, you know, you look up to and you want to be able to do what she does. And as you said, like, you've listed off her her accomplishments there. And that's amazing for anybody to be able to say that they've done all of that.
Yeah, it's remarkable. You're not doing too bad a job of emulating her, Orla. Congratulations on everything so far, and the couple of All-Stars, the All-Irelands. And I've been told by a certain Karen Duggan, it'd be great to see you back in a Piemont jersey at the end of the year, potentially, after Dublin has done so. Orla Nolan, thank you so much for hopping on the call this afternoon.
Thanks, Will. Thank you.
And just a reminder that Stay City Apart Hotels are supporting Dublin GAA in all four codes of the game for the upcoming All-Ireland Championships.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's Sports Breakfast Show.